Can we take a moment just to reach up with our hearts and hands? Say on a personal level, God, do it again in my life. Move with your Spirit. Speak to my heart, Lord. Minister to my life. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. What a Lord. What a God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. That song has particular significance to this church. And means a lot. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I believe He wants to do it again. I want to tell you something. I think maybe a mistake we have made, especially in light of the awful things happening in our nation, is that we have been wanting to see revival in our land. And you say, well, how's that a mistake? Because where we really need to see revival is in our church. If we'd have revival in our own life, in the own church, then there's hope for the land. And wouldn't you like to see God just have His way? Hallelujah. Oh, it always begins on an individual level. God, you're talking to me, you're speaking to me, you're working in my life. Colossians chapter 1, knowing Jesus through His names. We're all here together, God's house. His presence is here. Let's just let Him speak to us and draw us close to Him. Amen. God, open our hearts, Lord, to what You want to share with us this morning. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read just two verses right now, verses 17 and 18. When I taught this epistle in Bible school, one of the first things I'd have students do, it's a short epistle, I'd have them read through it and note every reference to Jesus, whether by proper name or by pronoun. If I remember correctly, and they were surprised too, there's like 83 to 86 references to Jesus in this very short epistle. Amen. It's always been about Jesus. Amen. Always been about Jesus. Verse 17, and Jesus is before all things, and by Him all things consist or are held together. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He is, Jesus is, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. What does it mean that He might have the preeminence? It means that He might be first. That He might have the preeminence means that He might be first. It says here, He is the firstborn, that in all things He might be first. You hear that ring? He's the firstborn, that in all things He may be first. Oh, hallelujah. What would happen even this morning if we just gave Him the preeminence? Amen. I want to preach on this name of Jesus today, the firstborn. The firstborn. God bless you. You can be seated. I heard this week a woman introducing one of our presidential candidates. It doesn't matter which one. It was Hillary Clinton. And when she was introducing, before the candidate took the podium, she was building up the crowd, and she says, I believe this candidate can unite our nation indivisible with liberty to all. What she stumbled on is she almost said it. She almost said, unite our nation under God. This is the lady introducing. But when she caught herself starting to say under God, she stopped and edited that out. Why? Well, you know why. First of all, it would be completely politically incorrect for her to say anything about our nation being under God. But I believe there's another reason that the lady making the introduction left out under God, whether she ever conceived it or not or thought about it or not, I believe it's this reason. Because that's not really an honest, true fact to say that our nation is under God. Because it ain't. It's not under God. You see, I think it's, you know, that way with us personally as well. It's something to consider. In fact, I would like you to ask yourself the question all over the building this morning. Just ask yourself, can I say that my life is under Jesus, under His authority, under His control, under His command? Is my life under Jesus? Is He number one in everything about my life? Is my life ordered and prioritized under Jesus? You see, the point is, Jesus will only occupy one position in a nation, in a person, in a church. The only position that Jesus will occupy is number one. Number one. He is the firstborn. That means He is the first. He is number one. He is premarital. Amen. He is first in the creation. He is first in the universe. He is first amongst all principalities and powers. He is first amongst all names. He is first in the church. Jesus will never settle for fifth place, or fourth place, or third place, or second place. Jesus will always only occupy first place. Amen. I want everybody to hear me this morning when I say it, because I believe it's true. He will be first in my life, or He'll be nothing in my life. Did you hear me? He'll be first in my life, or He'll be nothing in my life. He's either first in my life, or He's simply not in my life. Oh, I think it's time we let Him be first. We're in the mess that we're in as a nation because we're not under God. We've put things over God. We've regulated God way down on the pecking order and the priority. I'm telling you, there's messes in our own personal life because He's not first. I'm telling you, if we'll let Him have the preeminence, if we'll put Him first, glory to God, there's hope, there's help when He's first. He's firstborn. What does it mean, firstborn? Well, today we're likely to use the word firstborn only to talk about birth order. And the person usually using the word firstborn is the firstborn of that family. And they use the word to lament the harsh treatment they receive from mom and dad. I'm the firstborn. Mom and dad experimented on me. Mom and dad were hard on me. I'm the firstborn. Mom and dad expected too much. And then my little brother came along. They gave him everything, let him do everything. They never gave me a thing. They never let me do anything. I'm the firstborn. And so it's used to lament the birth order. But what did it mean in Bible times? Amen. We're taking the word from Scripture. What did it mean in Scripture? The firstborn, Old Testament and New Testament. Bible culture. The firstborn was used to designate the one in the family that at the passing of the patriarch, in other words, dad died, at the passing of the patriarch, the firstborn was the one designated to receive the greater part of the inheritance, to receive the leadership of the family, and to take the priesthood of the family. Even the firstborn was that one when dad died, in the words of Scripture, that would receive the birthright, would receive the blessing, and would receive the double portion of the inheritance. Firstborn is a title of position. It's a title of authority. It's a title of preeminence above all the other children. It was the special son that would take the leadership in the family and control the inheritance. That is the firstborn. Now here's the thing, amen. The son, ideally, amen, the firstborn, ideally, was the firstborn son. But the firstborn was not always the firstborn by evident reasons. A daughter could have been born in that family first. And in Bible cultural times and for many centuries, a daughter could not be the heir. The daughter could not be the one that received the inheritance. And so a daughter could have been the firstborn, but the firstborn son still got the title. He was firstborn. Even not only that, because of other reasons. Even a firstborn son was not always the firstborn. Let me remind you of Abraham. His firstborn son was Ishmael, but it was Isaac that was the firstborn. Jacob and Esau the firstborn, but it was Jacob that got the firstborn title. Amen. And so ideally the firstborn was the firstborn son, but many times he wasn't the firstborn. He was a later born son. But no matter what the birth order was, the title stuck. The one that got the inheritance, the one that got the position in the family, the one that had the priesthood in the family, he was the firstborn. I'm talking about the family of God this morning. And in the family of God, Jesus is the firstborn. He possesses it all. He's over it all. He has all the, and he is the priest that takes us to God. Hallelujah. He is firstborn. Even that's not just meaning born as a man, though he was. The emphasis isn't on the born part. The emphasis is from the title. The emphasis is on the position. Oh, hallelujah. He has the preeminence. He's first in time. He's first in power. He's first in authority. He's first in victory. Even I was reminded of John the Baptist there at Jordan River. The scripture says that John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he who cometh after me, but he is preferred before me, because he was before me." He is first. He's firstborn. What is he firstborn of? The scripture tells us that he's firstborn over all creation. Are you hearing it this morning? He's firstborn over all creation. Look in Colossians verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature or every created thing. I was sitting in my car in a parking lot this week, and a person from another religion, a religion that does not believe Jesus is God, a religion that teaches Christ is a created being. Amen. Knocked on my window. I rolled the window down. They tried to hand me one of their little magazines called Awake. I know what's in it. I know what it's about. I'm going to tell you, anything that demeans Christ is wrong. Anything that says Jesus is anything other than God, a part of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's false doctrine. It's a doctrine of a devil. I knew what was in the magazine. I refused to take it. I would have engaged in conversation, but a time or two back I did and left them in tears. And I thought, man, because I got him so flustered about that, even that deception. But let me show you how deceiving their religion is. And this is just one example. Here's what they've done to prove their false doctrine. They had to write their own translation, made up their own translation, and it's not based on the original languages. Let me show you this tricky, deceptive thing they've done. In Colossians 1:16, our scripture says, "By him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." You have that verse, verse 16, Brother Dearth, because I want to show you this. If you can see it, it's verse 16. All by him were all things created. And here's what they did that was tricky. Amen. With no basis to it, they inserted a word two times in that verse. They inserted the word "other." And so you take their translation, and here's what you read: "For by him were all other things created." Why'd they do that? because they want to teach the lie that Jesus is just another created being, like an angel or a human. And to believe that, they have to say Jesus created dogs and cats and flowers and stones and planets and us. But he himself was created. He created all other things. At the end of the verse, they added it again. By him, all other things were created by him. I want you to know that regulates Jesus to a created being. But I want you to know he was not created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. I'm telling you, he didn't create all other things. He created everything. He himself, he is the firstborn of creation. He's over all creation. He's the first mover. He's the first cause. And when creation got here, he was already here. The firstborn of all creation. I believe this so emphatically. We have two modern ideologies that I believe have been birthed by Satan, fomented by Satan, promoted by Satan. Our kids are indoctrinated with them, starting at a very early age, from television to public school. Satan indoctrinates them with these two ideologies. I'm so against these ideologies because I believe they're the design of Satan to remove Jesus as the firstborn of creation. The first of those ideologies is evolution. You see, we could talk about that a long time. Amen. But if evolution is true, there is no creator. If there is no creator, there's no one over creation. It's all equal. There's no authority. Amen. If he's not creator, if evolution is true, there's no creator to be obligated to obey. Amen. If there's a creator, I'm obligated to him. He's creator. I'm created. Amen. There's a big difference between creator and created. Evolution is Satan's attempt to remove Jesus as the firstborn of creation. It's not science. I don't care what they tell you. I'm not even entering into a scientific debate. It's not science. It's the effort of Satan to take Jesus out of that number one position as creator. Even I was reading a book of history this week, reading about when The Origin of Species by Charles Darwin first was published, first hit the world, of intellectual men, men of many degrees. That one of the first things they said, many of them across the world, was something like this: Darwin has just gotten rid of the creator. They saw it then. You can call it science. You can call it what you want to. And I'm telling you, the church does not need to embrace evolution as is taught. Because once you do, you have joined the campaign to take Jesus, to take God out of that number one position. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what evolution teaches. It's not science. It's bad. Philosophy is what it is. It doesn't matter what it teaches. I've read the book. I've read the scripture. I've heard the inspired word of God. He is firstborn of creation, because by him were all things created, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, power, all things, ever angel, ever human, ever rock, ever atom, ever electron, ever proton, amen, everything, even the platypus was created by him. Hallelujah. And you and I, as created beings, we exalt him as firstborn. We give him preeminence. You might as well believe in evolution. Listen, are you listening to me this morning? You might as well believe in evolution if he's last in your time, last in your efforts, last in your energy, last in your resources. If you don't give him the first of your life, you might as well believe in evolution. But if you believe he's the firstborn of creation, you'll give him the first day of your week. You'll give him the first of your pay. You'll give him the first of your day. You'll give him first say. Oh, come on, anybody here? Hallelujah. You'll give him first dibs.
You'll give him first refusal. Oh, I don't believe in evolution. I believe the Spirit of the Lord came and moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He is firstborn over all creation. What is the second ideology? It's environmentalism. Let me give a disclaimer before I start. If you're a true Christian, you will not litter. I heard of someone that's supposed to be a man of God recently throwing his litter out the window as he drove down the road. That backslidden fella, he needs to pray through. Amen. I want to take a bag of my trash and go empty it out in his living room. I tell you what, we Christians realize something. Amen. Whether it's the garden or all earth, God gave creation to man as man's charge and responsibility to take care of it. I believe we ought to be good stewards of this earth. Not waste, not pollute, not litter, not ruin. Amen. I believe. So we got that settled. How many believes I believe that? But I want to tell you something. This environmentalism is nothing but a religion that people embrace when they turn from God. I know it's sweeping through our churches and they're being indoctrinated. But this thing, that in the creation is everything. It's nothing more than a religion. The sin is to pollute. The sin is eat too much sugar. Amen. The sin is all this stuff. Amen. Government is the savior. To save us from destroying the environment. I want to tell you, climate change, we can have a scientific discussion, but in the end, this pushing of climate change is a religion. Why? This is nothing but a design of Satan to get people to worship the creation rather than the creator. Are you hearing me? This environmentalism is just another effort of Satan to get people to worship the creation, to worship nature rather than worship the creator. You say, why does that bother you? Because I've read Romans 1, and it said, when they knew God, they glorified him not of God, and they became dark in their thinking, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You say, how do you see environmentalism in that? Well, look at just a few verses, and Brother Dearth, you don't have these, but it says in Romans 1, verse 21, they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Verse 22, they professed themselves to be wise, they became fools. Listen to the results. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. What did that just say? Because when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. Amen. They begin to have homosexual relationship. They begin to twist everything about this creation into a distortion. Because when they knew God, they thought they knew more than God. And they didn't glorify God. I've not got there yet. What is invited? Environmentalism come in. Here it is. When they knew God and glorified him not of God, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature or the created more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You may not see it, but I challenge you to look more closely. One of the things that's led America down this road to perversion and wickedness and sin, it's her making environmentalism a religion. It was all a part of getting rid of God. It's all a part of getting rid of the creator and worshiping the creation rather than the creator. Amen. You check it out. It is true. Everything gets distorted. You see, humanity used to worship creation right out. They called the moon a god. They called the sun a god. They called stars god. They called a rock god. They called a mountain god. And they just right out worship to the creation. Amen. They're more subtle now. They're more subtle, but they're still worshiping the creation. Telling you, some unique, amen, almost an extinct snail means more than a baby in the womb, and you tell me it's not a religion. I said, you tell me it's not a religion. All the distortion, all the wickedness, it's a worshiping of creation. Amen. Amen. What happens when you worship creation instead of the creator? You'll hug a tree and kill a baby. You'll preserve a threatened species and surgically change a human's gender, and it's all a part of the same hodgepodge of the falsities and the falseness of what Satan teaches. Oh, thank God for the creation and its beauty, but I don't worship the creation. I worship the creator. And if I worship the Creator, I won't be throwing my trash out my window. Whoa, that was free. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the firstborn of all creation. Oh, have you read about, I wish I had time. I talk about some of the wonders of creation. Don't tell me that came about from any other thing but intelligent design. Firstborn of creation, Sister Norvell. Oh, he's the intelligence beyond intelligence. He's the intelligence that began intelligence. Trouble for understanding ourselves, it's human gray matter trying to understand gray matter. But I know who really understands the gray matter. It's the Creator. Glory to God. Oh, how I thank God for what science can do, medicine can do. But in the end, it's the firstborn of creation that's in control. He knows how everything works. Amen. Don't blame the messes. I know I got to go on. I'm time conscious. But I just don't blame the messes in creation. Don't blame the problems of your body on God the Creator. It has nothing to do with the way He created. He created it good and right and pure and to work perfectly. All the messes are caused because men introduce sin into the equation, and this whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. But I've got good news. Just like He redeemed your soul, just like one day He's going to redeem your body. Amen. Paul said He's going to redeem all of creation, create a new heaven and a new earth. We're in. Oh, I'm telling you, He's the firstborn of creation. I must move on. Secondly, He's the firstborn from the dead. I could have read it in our text, but I'll read it in Revelation chapter 1, the last book of our Bible. And from Jesus Christ, who was the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, He's the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Who did that? Who washed us from our sins and His own blood? The first begotten of the dead. I want you to think with me. Please put the thinking caps on for a moment. Let's think. Amen. What does it mean when it says Jesus was the firstborn from the dead? Does it mean that Jesus was the very first one resurrected? Does anyone see a problem with that? That's not factually true. Look in the Old Testament at some examples. What about Elijah? Raised that widow's son that was dead to life. What about Elisha? Raised the Shunammite. You remember we sing it as well. Raised that Shunammite boy to life. Jesus was not the first resurrected in the Old Testament. What about that man? I love that story. Elisha's done dead. Amen. Rotted. Sorry for lunch, but he was. Nothing left but bones in the sepulcher. Amen. Out fighting, one of the men get killed. Here comes a bigger portion of the opposing army. We got to get rid of this fella so we can get out of here. Where are we going to put him? Oh, there's Elisha's tomb. Amen. Well, the man's already dead. Let's throw him in there with the dead. They threw that dead man, that dead comrade, into that tomb. And when that corpse hit those bones, the power of God came into that man, and he jumped right out of the tomb and said, "Wait on me, guys." That didn't help. They just ran faster. Hallelujah. I'm talking about in the Old Testament, there were resurrections. What about the New Testament? He's firstborn from the dead. Was He the first resurrected? No. Look in the New Testament. They're having a funeral procession. That widow of Nain, her son, her bread provider, he's dead. And Jesus did something a holy man would never do. He stopped the funeral procession because He reached out and He touched that gurney. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And He raised that young man to life. That's New Testament. Was Jesus first resurrected? No. What about Jairus' daughter? He stepped across the threshold into that room. And when He stepped across the threshold, life stepped into the room. because I am the resurrection and the life. He took her by the hand and raised her up. Was he the first resurrected? Oh no. He stood on the hillside and he shouted at the tomb, Lazarus, come forth. And here he came forth. Loose him and let him go. He was not the first resurrected. Therefore, how is he the firstborn? It's because he's the highest and greatest ever resurrected from the dead. Why is he the greatest? How is he the greatest ever resurrected? Let me tell you from Scripture. He's the firstborn from the dead, the greatest. Number one, because he raised himself from the dead. Every one of these other situations I showed you, somebody raised him by the power of God from the dead. But Jesus raised himself. Amen. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm talking about the wonders of the triune God. But let me tell you something here. This is where the Muslims have big trouble with Christianity. Because if Jesus is a holy man, and in specifically if Jesus is God, nobody can kill him, especially those wicked soldiers. Nobody can kill him. But what they don't understand is that they don't understand. Nobody took Jesus' life. Did you hear me? Nobody killed Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You ought to shout. I said, nobody killed Jesus. He laid his life down. He gave his life up. And to thy hands I commit my spirit. Amen. While he was yet living, Jesus says, therefore, doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. But he didn't stop there. He said, the Father loves me because I lay down my life and I take it up again. I'm telling you, he's the firstborn from the dead because nobody resurrected him. He resurrected by the Spirit of God. He resurrected himself. He laid down his life and he took it up. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship the firstborn from the dead. He elaborated. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment, amen, I receive from my Father. How is he the firstborn from the dead? He raised himself from the dead. Secondly, he's the firstborn from the dead because he is resurrected to die no more. That's how he's different than every other resurrection. My job is to encourage. If I say something to you, I'm trying to encourage you. Amen. I believe in divine healing. I believe in it strongly. But I want you to know, I don't care how close to God you live. I don't care how many times you get sick and healed. The point is, it is appointed unto men once to die. Everybody's going to die. I've known people healed of cancer unmistakably. Later on, get another cancer and die. I've looked at them trying to be an encouragement. Said, you got to remember something. Lazarus died again. Go through the Bible. Every other resurrection, they were truly, unmistakably raised from the dead. But they died again. Except the firstborn from the dead. When he was resurrected from the dead, he was resurrected never, ever, 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 ever to die again. Oh, hallelujah. The book of Hebrews said in him was the power of endless life. You ought to be excited because if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. We have the same power, the same spirit within us. And though the outward man perish, the inward person is renewed with the resurrected. Oh, come on. Aren't you glad he's resurrected? Never to die again. How's he the firstborn from the dead? He resurrected himself. He resurrected to die no more. He's the firstborn from the dead because he has resurrected others and he will resurrect others. He will resurrect others. Oh, hallelujah. How many still believes he's the firstborn from the dead? He died and rose again so one day Lazarus can resurrect again, this time never to die. You've buried a lot of loved ones in Christ, but I want to tell you something. They only sleep in Jesus. He's the firstborn from the dead. When he shouts at his coming, he's going to awake every believing Christian. Amen. Their soul in the presence of God will be reunited with their bodies to ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a great day coming. He's going to resurrect from every century, every age, those that believe in him. Hallelujah. How many expect that of your loved ones buried in Christ? I don't have time to preach it, but he'll also resurrect the unbelieving to head to the judgment and to head to eternal destruction. Amen. You say, well, I don't live for God. I just won't go to heaven. I'll just be forever in oblivion. No, sir. He's going to resurrect you. It's appointed unto men to die. But after that, the judgment. Everyone will. Oh, but I'm glad I know him as firstborn. He's going to resurrect me to ever live in the presence of God. I talked to a younger person just recently, and this is happening more and more, a Christian. And they shared with me and said, Pastor, I just feel such a fear of death. Amen. That fear of death. Amen. It's not just age tied to an age. Young people, teenagers, children, older folks, middle age can be fearful of death. I reminded them of the scripture that says he came for this reason, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The fear of death is a bondage of mind and of life. Oh, but are you listening to me? He's the firstborn from the dead. You need to have no fear of death. Why? Because he's already been there and come back. I said he's already faced it. He's already faced it. What are you saying? He came, he rose, he resurrected, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And if you're in him, because he's the firstborn from the dead, you need not fear death. Hallelujah. Amen. If you die in the faith, you'll step out of this world like stepping through a door. Hallelujah. You'll step into the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. How do I know? Because he said, because I live, you shall live. Oh, hallelujah. Could we worship him, church? I'm talking about him having first place. I got to quit. But this last thing, he's firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's firstborn among many brethren because Jesus is the means by which the rest of us become the children of God, become the brothers and sisters. He's a unique son of God. Unique son fils, son of God. He's a unique son of God. But he is the means by which the rest of us become children of God. How many knows we become children by adoption? But Jesus is, if there'd been no Jesus as son, we could not be sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. I know I got to hurry, but I'm telling you, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Well, how'd that love come? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he's the firstborn among many brethren. That means he's the means by which we become the children of God. Secondly, Jesus is the firstborn of the brethren because he's the pattern for all of God's children. Jesus is firstborn of the family of God. But more than that, Jesus is what all the children of God should be. Did you hear me? Jesus is the example of what all the children of God should be. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. Amen. God loves his son. Somebody said, I think this is great. God loves his son so much. He desires that everybody be just like him. Can I say that again? Hallelujah. Hey, God loves his son so much. He desires that everyone be just like him. He's the firstborn among many brethren because he is the means of making us like himself. He is going to conform us to the image of His Son. Oh, I miss hearing in church. Now we're interested in blessing. We're interested in potential. We're interested in power. We're interested in esteem. But I remember the day that we would lift our hands in the house of God and sing, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He wants to make us like Him. Oh, hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself. Are you pure this morning? Purifieth himself. You say you're just trying to cookie cut, make everybody look like a certain thing the church has in mind. No, sir. No, ma'am. The desire is to be like Jesus. Jesus don't look at pornography. Jesus don't have bad attitudes. Jesus isn't sour against authority. Jesus don't love the world, neither things in the world. Jesus doesn't justify sin. Oh, how many wants to be like Jesus? Oh, glory to God. I know I lost you because of the time, but would you bear with me just a few more moments? He's the firstborn among the brethren because He is the pattern. Today, folks want to be like the fitness fanatic. They want to be like the health guru. They want to be like the rich and the famous and the popular unsaved kids. Oh, give me a youth group of young people that your desire, and I'm not saying it's not, but to say to be like Jesus. Oh, I want to be in His image. I want to be like, wouldn't you like your attitudes to be like Jesus, your motives? Oh, come on. I'm talking about revival here. Revival's not just getting a fresh anointing so you can brag about the power of God. Anointing is the transformative power of Jesus. Amen. To make us like Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be one of the brethren. He's the firstborn among the brethren because He shares His inheritance. I won't go into it, but in Bible times, the firstborn got double what the other kids did. He counted double. He got double the inheritance. Not with Jesus. Jesus got it all. It all comes through Jesus. Oh, I wish we could realize it this morning. It all comes through Jesus. He possesses it all. One scripture, Hebrews 1:2. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. He is the heir of all things. But let me tell you something wonderful. Jesus shares His inheritance with His siblings. Hallelujah. If you become born again, you become a child of God. You're a part of the family, and Jesus shares His inheritance with the rest of us. Glory to God. Oh, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. I said, what a Savior. And so let's go ahead, music. Jesus is the firstborn. He holds the position of prominence over creation. He holds the power over death. He is the one who receives all things in the family of God. I want to ask a question this morning. Do you really, really believe, since He is the firstborn, do you really believe He's going to settle for anything other than first place in your life? What husband, what married man, what husband would settle being number four on his wife's list? Number three, number two, no husband. If he's going to be her husband, he's going to be number one in her life. And Jesus is coming back after a bride. And the bride He's coming after is the bride who Jesus, the husband, is number one in her life. He is the firstborn. How far down the list is He in my life? How far down the list is He in your life? How far with your exaltation of other things, how far have you demoted Jesus down the list of your priority and preferences? Is Jesus just an afterthought? Is Jesus way down the list? Do you just try to tack Him on to the rest of your life? You see, He's the firstborn. Paul said, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Don't you want to leave here this morning knowing he has the preeminence in your life? First in your heart, first in your thoughts, first in your home, first in your entertainment, first in your life. Oh, hallelujah. First in the church. Amen. I am more and more convinced of this, that a person's life will never be what it ought to be. It'll never be fulfilled until Jesus is first. The greatest thing you can do for your life is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and let God worry about all the other things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You hear a terminology, and I quit here. You hear a terminology today, and especially in reference to this millennial generation, narcissistic, we blame them. But started way back to the baby boomers' parents, tried to give the baby boomers everything they didn't receive. And then the baby boomers wanted to make sure Generation X, their kids, had everything the neighbors had. And now we got a generation that thinks it's all about them. Amen. What I think, what I feel, what I want to do. They don't realize when somebody like a preacher says that, they're not being cruel. They're saying you're in for a lot of heartache and misery and pain and emptiness and meaningless. But you hear that consistently about somebody. It's all about them. It's all about them. And they're talking about selfishness. A husband, it's all about him. He destroys his marriage and his home. Amen. Another person, a young person, just set on doing their own thing. Don't listen to any counsel, advice, preaching, anything. It's all about them. Amen. Folks all caught up in this world, it's all about them. It's all about them. I want to tell you the recipe of getting your life in a place where God can bless you and help you and strengthen you, and you can have meaning. Amen. Amen. Do what the scripture says. Let self be killed. Let self die on the cross of Jesus. Mortify therefore the deeds of your flesh. Mortify your own desires. Put to death your own will. Amen. Don't make it all about you. Make it all about Jesus. Make him the firstborn of your life. Give him first place in your thoughts, in your devotion, your affection, your... Oh, hallelujah. How many believes he's firstborn this morning? Go ahead and stand till I'll quit. But I want you to lift your hands and let's worship the firstborn. Give him the preeminence. You deserve the glory and the honor and the power and the praise. Hallelujah. Oh, he's getting a group of people ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You've heard many forms of it through the year, but that fella, Jonathan, he wrote that love note. He said, to Mary, the love of my life, there is nothing I would not do to reach your side. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd cross the trackless desert. I'd swim the widest ocean to be near you, my beloved, with all my love and tenderness. Jonathan, P.S., I'll be sure and see you Saturday night. If it's not raining, we laugh at that. Amen. It's unreal. A lot of people could speak the words when the time comes to sound like a Christian. But the question is, amen, if you have to choose between serving Jesus and some other thing, what are you going to choose? Is he going to be first? Amen. If you have to choose between going to the church or going to the amusement park, do you choose church or the amusement park? If you have to choose between a sporting event or worshiping God, do you choose a sporting event? You say that's silly, that's nonsense. Not if he's firstborn. I said, not if he's firstborn. He deserves all our everything. He deserves first place. And I'm telling you, the born again spirit will say, I want him to be first. His deserved place. If you'd like him to be firstborn of your life, would you come and fill these altars this morning and say, Lord, I want you first and foremost. I want you to have the preeminence in my life. Not just on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh, come and worship, bow down before him. May his name be blessed forevermore. Oh, make him first in this service. Make him first at this altar. Make him first. Make him first. Hallelujah. That in all things, not just at church, not just on a Sunday, but in all things, he might have the preeminence. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. First place above all principality.
One who first chose me, I choose Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For now and eternity.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First. God is speaking to folks in this altar. Let's pray. Let's pray. I want to be like Jesus.
To be like him.
Firstborn. That all should be made in his image and his likeness. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.
Is to be like
Lord, I want to be like you in the way I think. I want to be like you in the way I feel. I want to be like you in the way I choose. Be like you in my attitude, Lord. You're the firstborn. You're the firstborn.
All through life's journey.
What a wonderful Lord.
From earth to glory.
What a wonderful Savior. Thank you. Firstborn, number one, first, he's first. He'll be first or he'll be nothing. He'll be first or he'll be nothing in my life. I want him to be first. Oh, Jesus, be first in my life. Be first in my heart. Be first. Be first. Be first. Hallelujah.